Thank you for joining me for this Technorama special interview. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. Technorama is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more about this and other technology podcasts at friendsintech.com. If you got this by clicking on the icon on the website, consider subscribing to get the show downloaded automatically to you. Technorama takes a lighthearted look at the technology world with offbeat news, product reviews, and interviews like this. The easiest way is to download Apple iTunes, go to chuckchat.com, and click on the link Subscribe iTunes next to the Technorama banner on the main page. It's quick, free, and easy. I've got another exclusive interview. This time I'm talking with a man who goes by the name Tornado Tim. He's best known for two tornadoes, one where he filmed the full life cycle of a tornado from beginning to end, with pre-tornado video of the building storm to the rope-out stage. The second tornado he is well known for is his close encounter where he parked in the path of a half-mile-wide F3 tornado and got too close, with a 2x4 hitting the side of his car at the end. He is also one of the few chasers that has seen the edge of a tornado while chasing. Thank you for joining us today on Technorama, Tim.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell the listener where you're located, or better yet, what area do you cover in your tornado chasing, your storm chasing?
Well, I'm located out of Greeley, Colorado. It's Weld County, Colorado has more small tornadoes than any county in the United States, so it's kind of a nice place to base out of, but they're little F0 tornadoes. I chase from here all the way through all of Tornado Alley, as far as Indiana and Illinois even. So I cover a large area. I cover everywhere.
How did you first get started in storm chasing?
That was kind of interesting. I have a pilot's license, so I learned a lot about weather, but I didn't really understand what storm chasing was. I just had heard that people chase them, and I thought it was a tornado warning goes out, everybody jumps in the car and goes and chases the tornado. Well, after having a tornado near my house, I went out, and guys were packing up their equipment, and I go, well, how'd you get here so quick? And they said, oh, we were here 2 hours ago. Well, 2 hours ago, how's that possible? And he says, well, we predicted that the tornado would set down here, and we got our camera set up, and this is where we came. And that intrigued me. Like, how in the world could anybody possibly? It just didn't seem possible. But as I studied and researched more, I found out that storm chasing and tornado chasing really is researching weather so well that you out-predict the National Weather Service and everybody and say, okay, in a half hour or an hour, there's going to be a tornado right in this county. And you go there and you get set for it.
That's amazing that you can predict it that far in advance and know the conditions are right for that. How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing a little over 11 years now, and it's become more and more of my life. Started out with just a few days every couple of weeks going out maybe for 1 week, and then finally it was a couple of weeks vacation in May, and then it started out to a couple of weeks in May and a week in June, and now last year I was out for 6 months.
What drives you to do this? Well, I always wonder what causes people to face such dangers. Truly, it's a fascinating and beautiful thing, but it's very deadly and dangerous, too. What drives you to put yourself in harm's way like that?
I think there's two aspects that drive chasers. One is the danger factor, so it is a bit of a thrill-seeking adventure when you get close to a tornado, or even just seeing one from, 2 miles away, you're just absolutely thrilled to death. So there is a little bit of a thrill-seeker part. But also plays on your kind of like Sherlock Holmes kind of a chess player thing. You're trying to look at all the clues and figure out where something's going to happen, and you want to be the one to be in the exact location and be where nobody else is, beat all the other chasers and get that tornado when it first sets down and have the video of it that nobody else has. And so those two are kind of things that drive, but the thrill-seeking part is definitely a part of it. If there wasn't so thrilling, I think there'd be a lot less guys out there.
Let's turn to the gadgets. Explain to the listener what sorts of electronics and what's in your arsenal.
Well, it varies from chaser to chaser. Some guys, they'll carry around complete ham radio units that actually broadcast the weather data right straight back to the National Weather Service. They basically sign a contract or work with the National Weather Service to send information back via ham radio off of all of their basically the wind velocity, the dew points, the air temperatures, things like that. So those guys are kind of helping out the National Weather Service get a better picture of thunderstorms. So they have that going. Then there's guys, I have several computers on board. I have a complete AC power system set up in my car. So I even run a desktop computer in my car, not a laptop, but a desktop.
Oh, my.
I need at least 3 gigahertz of horsepower, and laptops overheat too easy. So I need a lot of power, because getting the video rendered once you've got it, you need to get it up if you're going to sell it. So it takes a lot of horsepower. So we've got that. I've got extra cameras, usually 5-6 digital cameras. Most everybody's running digital video.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have the ability to capture straight to my computer's hard drive while I'm filming, so I have digital video immediately on the hard drive. Just lots of radios, and some guys are even running around with XM radio units that bring down radar. It's a new thing that they started just a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, I guess now. XM radio broadcasts all of the National Weather Service radar information down to these little units, and then you post them up on your laptop or whatever you have in your computer, and you can see radar that's 3-4 minutes old right in your car.
Wow. It's amazing. I didn't realize that you took it right to the hard drive as it's happening and then uploaded or put it on the server almost
exactly.
Immediately. I thought there was some latency, like you'd see it a day or two later.
Yeah, well, you're not going to make any money in this business if you're even a half hour later than somebody else. It's not who has the best video, it's who gets it up first.
Now, who are you selling this to?
I sell through a broker to the Weather Channel. I had about 14 clips played last year. A lot of the video we sell is freelancers. You don't see your name on it. They buy it basically to use as though they got it. So a lot of times what you're seeing on the Weather Channel is chasers like myself. It's our video, but you don't ever see our name or know we got it. It looks like they got all of it.
Are you selling the rights as well?
No, we give them 10-day rights is all, and nothing beyond that, and only one station with the sale rights. If your video is exceptional, then they will want to buy the rights to it, and that's where the money is.
Okay.
So that's what you're hoping for.
So if at a later time the Discovery Channel needed some footage or something, they could come and repackage that same video if they wanted.
Right. Yeah, most chasers like myself, we have our own little stock video set up, mm-hmm. and companies call us every so often and say, we need this type of video, do you have that? And then we sell them, you know, 10-day rights or one project rights, or sometimes they'll buy the whole thing.
Well, how much money would you say? Now, be honest, how much money have you sunk into this hobby?
Oh, God. That is really the sad part of storm chasing, just like anybody that's geek with equipment. You know, if you're on the bleeding edge, you're spending a lot of money and not really making profit off of it. So I'm $20,000 easy and not gotten it all returned. I mean, it's one of those things where if you luck onto something that's rare in video, you can get $20,000 for one video. But so far, most of my stuff, I have not been able to grab the big money, just the smaller money to keep me limping along and continue to go.
You've outspent my podcasting budget. You got me there.
Well, and the video market's changing, as everybody knows now. Video's moving to high def, so most of us camera guys are having to save up now. We're going to have high-definition cameras. So 2-3 years from now, everything that we shoot will have to be high def. And then that's new software for the computer, mm-hmm. Adobe Premiere, and all these products are just now getting into having high-def abilities. So talking about new hardware and software for our computers even that we'll have to do the high-def.
Well, let's step back a minute. Let's go to the basics. How do you find out a storm is coming?
Well, yeah, you become obsessed with weather when it gets to chase season time. You start reading the maps every day, looking at weather patterns. Where are the lows coming in at? Where's all the dew points? Where's the moisture moving towards? Where are the cold fronts? You start watching these and look for where they're going to run into each other. 2-3 days out, if it's a really classic pattern, I can know 3 days ahead there's going to be tornadoes in a city, certain city. That's a classic. That's rare, but occasionally you get a classic setup. And you just keep watching the maps. It changes in the next day as you get closer. You see, has it adjusted? Has it moved slower or faster? Has the cold front weakened or is it strengthened? Has the low pressure gotten weaker or stronger? And you keep following these weather patterns, which almost all of our data comes from the Internet. I mean, without the Internet, I couldn't chase. I'd be done. I have to have the Internet.
We're in the off-season as we record this. When do your ears start pricking up? When are the best storm chasing times?
March, we all start getting curious because March, you can get some deadly F5 tornadoes in March. That is not uncommon. It has happened. So March, you start getting to looking for patterns, see what does this spring look like. By April, I'm out doing some what I call preseason chases. The odds of getting a really good storm are low, so when you go out, probably come back with nothing. But last year, I got my first tornado, I think it was by May or April 20th, because I went out early and had a small tornado. So you start gearing up, and from there on out, you're just glued to the weather maps after April.
I know what you mean. I've got that same fascination with weather. It just it's kind of a compulsive thing.
It is. Oh, yeah. It sure is.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
We mentioned that this was a pretty dangerous hobby. What sort of safety precautions do you observe when a storm is approaching, or when you're setting up for one?
Yeah, the number one safety precaution I have is to not get out of the car when there's lightning. I see a lot of young kids who are emulating storm chasers get out of their vehicles to watch a storm, and lightning's all around, and they're going, cool. And I'm standing on the edge of my car yelling at them, get into your car on wheels, you idiot, because lightning will kill us before anything. We'll die from lightning before anything else. Lots of chasers have been hit by lightning and seriously and permanently injured. So lightning is our biggest danger. As far as tornado danger, you can get too close pretty easy. You can drive into rain-wrapped tornadoes. How do I protect myself from that? Well, I don't. I've had a 2x4 hit the side of my car before because I got too close. Oh. So there really isn't anything you do if you get too close to a tornado. You have to just make sure you have a strong, powerful car and you out of there as fast as you can. And I've had to do that several times where I got caught into the edge of the tornado and had to just floor it out of there. So you got to make sure you have a car that's running perfectly. It's not going to miss a beat. It's not going to stop running, and you can get out of places quickly. So good tires, all those things are vital to staying alive.
What have you learned from doing all of this? I mean, has it taught you any life lessons? Obviously a lot of science lessons. What are you getting out of this?
Wow. I don't know. I guess I probably learned a lot about how a person, if they really apply themselves, can learn to do something that they've never done before. I'm outgunned by a lot of meteorologists out there. There are guys who, you know, have 8 years with 3 or 4 degrees in meteorology. They're advanced in the field, and I come away with a tornado video and they don't. I've learned that if you really apply and work hard at something and you study and research, just like we do with any type of technology, you just read everything you possibly can on it, you can learn to do things that you never thought you could, and I've gotten better at this than I ever thought I would.
Do you usually drive around in a caravan, or do you go solo most of the time?
Some do. I go solo. Part of the problem when you're in caravans is if you've all kind of agreed to be buddies on the trip, well, so-and-so just blew a tire, let's wait for him, and somebody just lost their windshield by hail, let's wait up for him a little bit here. It slows you down. And people that go on the storm chase tours, where they're in the van loads, where there's, you know, 8 people in each van, there's 3-4 vans in tour, one of their biggest complaints is there's always somebody that's got to go to the bathroom. So in the caravans, okay, they're going to stop for 5 minutes. Well, that 5 minutes turns into 15 minutes, and in this game of chasing, 15 minutes means you missed it.
Yep.
That's it. It's over. Because most tornadoes are less than 10 minutes. Most are probably under 5 minutes. So you lose 15 minutes, you probably lost the day. You wasted all of your work.
What was the most hair-raising experience you've had?
Well, I was getting frustrated a couple of years ago. I was not getting tornadoes. I was missing them by those 5, 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And finally, a big F3 tornado sets down. It was about a half mile wide. And I thought, well, I'm going to get video just to prove to everybody that I'm really good. And I parked in front of that thing and butted up against the side of this big, tall building. And I was going to use it as an airfoil, just like a plane, so that all the debris would fly over the top of the building, keep going, and then fall just past me. So I was as tight up against the building as I could. And the tornado came in, and it cut in on me. And all of a sudden, debris starts piling around me. I see baseball-sized hail flying at 100 miles an hour in front of me. But I'm still protected by the building. But I can't get out now. I got myself trapped. I had to just sit there because you can't drive into baseball-sized hail going 100 miles an hour. You won't have a window left. So I sat there, and finally that thing got so close to me, boards started flying, a 2x4 hit the side of the car, and I figured I'm going to die here. So I crawled onto the floor of the car and just waited to die.
Oh, man.
Luckily, the tornado moved away, and I survived.
I suspect your vehicle sustains a lot of damage.
Yeah, that's the bummer part of it all. The baseball-sized hail and debris and all just beats the heck out of your car. The sand that blows on your paint pits it and takes it off. Your windows get all pitted from all that sand blowing on it so hard. Cars take a beating, yeah.
Now, one would naturally assume, why not just go buy an old beater? But you mentioned the reliability. Do you just wait for the off-season to fix this thing?
I do a lot of repairs in the off-season and upgrade the parts on the car to make sure everything is top-notch, make sure it's all done up. But, yeah, an old vehicle is a good way to die, because I have known chasers whose cars broke down when a tornado was on their heels, and there they are stuck in its path. They had to crawl into a ditch or something and hope the tornado didn't get too close. But nobody's ever been killed by a tornado that is an actual storm chaser like me. But there's been amateurs who have come out of their house to film something that have gotten hit in the head by 2x4s and never been the same, things like that. So, yeah, having a car, you got to have a good car. Don't drive a beater. It's a sure way to die.
You mentioned that you talked to some of the kids in the schools. Tell us a little bit more about that. Is it working? Are they enthusiastic? What's the reception you get from these kids, and what are you telling them?
Kids are definitely very interested in storm chasing, mostly because of the thrill ride aspect of it. But once they start talking to you, their minds start opening up to realizing that this is science, and science is fun. That sometimes people think that, you know, studying technology and science and how to accomplish something sounds almost boring. It sounds like you're doing it in a lab, but the whole outside is our lab. And once you start explaining to the kids how, you know, if you learn how to do laboratory analysis of the weather and the atmosphere, how much fun it is, they begin to want to research and study. And it's neat to see kids gain an interest in, hey, study is good, because it leads to a lot of fun once I get to understand what I'm doing.
How many schools do you usually visit in a year or so?
I usually only have time for 3 or 4 schools a year, just because of my schedule is so frantic. And a lot of schools try and bring me in during storm season. Well, I just can't do it during storm season.
Sure.
So, unfortunately, a lot of school curriculums have the storm sections in their science books come up in March, April, and May. And that just doesn't work for me.
Nobody's available.
That's pretty much it.
They're all out on the road doing data collection. Do you mainly target the younger kids, the high schoolers? Who do you prefer to?
High schoolers is better. When I've done younger kids, third and fourth graders, I spend more of my time comforting them, telling them how well protected they are and how people are watching out for them, and the firemen are watching the storm and the police are watching, and because they have more questions out of fear when mm-hmm. they're younger. So kids under 10 usually are more questions of, how do I know I'm going to live, and I'm really scared of storms. Is something wrong with me? No, that's good.
There's something wrong with you because you're chasing after them.
Yeah, pretty much I'm the one a little crazy. You got it.
Well, in the movie Twister, is there any truth to some of the devices they use, like the Dorothy probe? Has anything like that been launched?
Well, there are some things similar. Tim Samaras, probably a lot of people have read about him in National Geographic, puts cones on the ground, but they are made to not move. They are made to just record the winds as it goes over the top of the cones. To have something sucked into a tornado is dangerous, because everything that gets sucked into a tornado gets thrown out. So if you put 100-pound something in front of a tornado and it gets picked up, that 100-pound something's going to run into something or somebody later on.
Mm-hmm.
And it could cause the death of somebody. So nobody is putting heavy objects in front of a tornado to be picked up and thrown out. That's just irresponsible. That had been attempted, but nobody was ever able to get anything into a tornado. There's more and more chasers nowadays that are getting too close, like myself, Tim Samaras, and others, that we can probably get stuff in tornadoes if we wanted. But again, we know now that that would be irresponsible. Other things about Twister that are pretty accurate, though, is how some of those vehicles just showed tons of equipment inside of them. I think one of the vans they had was computers and radios everywhere. That's the real world. I've seen vehicles that probably have well over $35,000-$40,000 worth of equipment in the back of them. Of course, then you got Doppler on wheels. You're talking about million-dollar vehicles. So, yeah, a lot of cool vehicles running around out there, and that part of Twister was pretty accurate. It's pretty cool to hang around all the guys chasing.
Are there a lot of people out there with Doppler on wheels right now?
There's Doppler on wheels program has three main ones, so they could triangulate tornadoes, and he actually has 3D images of tornadoes. I mean, he's the top notch. Josh Werman is the world's top tornado scientist. He invented Doppler on wheels. There are other smaller Doppler on wheel units. Some people have purchased, not Doppler, but they purchased radar units that are used in boats that go out on the ocean to see storms. And some guys actually have mounted those on top of their vans to watch the storms. So there are people with radar out there right on their vehicles.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate your time. We've got really good information, and hope that the listener enjoyed it as well.
I really enjoyed being with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
That concludes our interview with Tornado Tim. If you enjoyed this interview, I encourage you to go to ChuckChat.com and subscribe to the show. Feed your inner geek twice a week with Technorama. Thank you.